You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy weekend, happy Saturday, and happy Victory Saturday for the Minnesota Timberwolves. This is a special quick-hitting post-game weekend edition of the Locked On Wolves podcast. Of course, we're normally a daily Monday through Friday pod, but want to make sure that we get you updated in between the Timberwolves games in Oklahoma City, of course, playing Friday and Saturday night. The Timberwolves were victorious on Friday, winning by 3 points against the Thunder. So what I want to do today is hit the quick takeaways from the game, as well as studs and duds as well individually from the game, and look ahead to Saturday night's contest. Hopefully we'll have a few more players healthy, maybe on both sides, as we had, of course, no Karl Anthony Towns on Friday, and then a depleted Thunder roster as well, which we'll get into here in a second. So that'll be today's show. Pretty short and sweet, but hey, the Timberwolves won, so we have to talk about it. If you don't already, please subscribe to this podcast. You can on Apple, on iTunes. You can also follow on Spotify or anywhere else you get podcasts. You can find us. Also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And then also my account is at B Beacon, two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right. So the Thunder came into this game extremely shorthanded. And of course, the Wolves are too. But the Thunder knew they wouldn't have George Hill. They knew they weren't going to have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They were both Hill's out for a little while. Gilgeous-Alexander was a scratch on Wednesday. The Thunder actually beat Houston fairly easily without him on Wednesday. But they found out on the day of the game that Lu Dort would miss the game. And Théo Maledon, the rookie, was out for health and safety protocols. We don't have any other information on that. And so evidently there was no concern about close contacts or anything within the team, because the Thunder did have the minimum required 8 players to play. And so the game happened. But the Thunder had only 3 bench players and really just kind of shuffled everybody in and out fairly evenly in this game to try and keep guys fresh, and also on a back-to-back. So who knows what this is going to look like on Saturday. Recording this really early, so don't know, you know, what the injury report's going to look like, and if hopefully there's no other contact tracing issues or anything like that. The Timberwolves, of course, still don't have Towns. Juancho Hernangómez sat out again. He was dressed but did not play for the 3rd straight game. Now he's being listed as a DNP CD, not necessarily because of conditioning, but I'm sure that that's the case. Also, power forwards right now are playing pretty well. If you look at Jared Vanderbilt, Josh McDaniels, for the most part. And we'll get into this in a second, but the Wolves rotation took on a bit of a different look in this game as well. So at any rate, the Timberwolves or the Thunder were shorthanded. The Wolves went into this game basically just without Towns and Hernangómez, and obviously Jarrett Culver still out with the sprained ankle. And the first quarter was fairly competitive. Both teams struggled offensively. The Thunder actually got out to a quick 8-0 run. They had 6 points, and the game wasn't even 90 seconds old. It was a concerning start, but then the Wolves had a quick 8-0 run of their own, and the Wolves won the first quarter by 2. And again, both teams played hard. Wolves had some issues in transition defense, and both teams struggled offensively, but it was 25-23 at the end of the first. Second quarter was not quite as good. The Wolves had a really bad stretch leading into halftime, let the Thunder get some really easy transition buckets, some open threes. Al Horford had like almost a double-double at halftime, looked like Al Horford from 4 years ago. And the Wolves were actually down 4 at halftime, and this certainly felt like it was headed in a bad direction. And to make matters worse, the Wolves won the third quarter, which of course only made everybody feel more doomsday about the situation. But the Wolves won the third by 13 points and then took a 9-point lead into the fourth quarter. The end of the third quarter was just kind of like a barrage of D'Angelo Russell and Jalen Noel scoring. They each hit a pair of threes in the final couple minutes of the third. The Wolves were actually executing their offense extremely well. The Rubio plus D'Lo minutes at the end of quarters, really, I think the end of all 4 quarters, actually worked okay in this game. I'm not endorsing it moving forward, but it worked okay. Rubio just kind of had a so-so game, but D'Lo was quite good and, knocked down a couple of threes. Noel hit a couple from the corners. And it was a good close to the third. And of course, Timberwolves fans had a right to feel uneasy going into the fourth with a 9-point lead on the road. But the Thunder, I alluded to them not having a point guard. They literally didn't have a point guard. No Maladone, and you know, obviously no George Hill, not even Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to initiate things. And they were basically running their offense through Hamidou Diallo, who had a career high 10 assists in this game and was actually quite good overall. We'll get into his issues at the end of the game here in just a second, but this is a team that shouldn't have been able to come back on the Wolves 9 points down. Unfortunately, they did. The Wolves were up by 9, still early in the fourth quarter, and still had a 6-point lead with just over 3 minutes to play. But a couple of bad breakdowns near the end led to the Thunder getting multiple opportunities to not only stick in this game, but actually they did tie the game down the stretch. So the Wolves are up 6 points with 3:42 to play. Darius Bazley hits a 3-pointer. So Beasley and Edwards come into the game with the Wolves up 6. Darius Bazley immediately hits a 3-pointer. Then D'Lo turns the ball over. Bazley dunks on just a really bad turnover from D'Angelo Russell. And now all of a sudden it's a 1-point game. Wolves call a timeout. They get the ball into the post to Nas. He makes a little jump hook. Wolves and Thunder go back and forth a little bit. And then there's just this awful exchange where the Wolves miss a shot. The Thunder miss a shot. Actually, no. The Thunder miss first. Then the Wolves miss. D'Lo misses. Then the Thunder miss another three that would have tied the game. Then Rubio misses a pull-up jumper where he was open. It wasn't an awful shot. But, I mean, right now with the way Ricky Rubio's going, that's not the shot you want. Then the Thunder come down. There's just over 30 seconds left. Wolves up 3. Al Horford misses a 3. Kenrick Williams tracks down the rebound in the left corner, tosses it back across the court to Al Horford, who's still outside the arc. He knocks down the game time through 26.4 seconds left. Tie game. Every Timberwolves fan's nightmare suddenly coming true on just kind of a fortuitous bounce and an offensive rebound. Horford getting a second chance, making the shot, having basically easily his best night of the season, I'm sure. And the Timberwolves call the timeout. They get the ball, of course, at midcourt. So all they need to do is 25.7 seconds left, tie game. All you need to do is inbound the ball, kill some clock, and get a shot up with 2-3 seconds left. If you shoot too early, obviously the Thunder will have an opportunity to tie or win on the other end. It's a tie game. You're not ahead, so you don't need to worry about an offensive rebound. Well, none of that matters because after the timeout, they turned it over on the inbounds. Ricky Rubio is the inbounder. He's trying to get it into D'Lo, and it was mostly a miscommunication where Rubio thought D'Lo would break away from the sideline, and D'Lo kind of got caught in the wash on with the defenders, and Rubio just threw the ball to nobody. Hamidou Diallo gets the steal, and credit the Wolves for getting back defensively. Diallo just went down and tried to score and basically airballed a layup and went out of bounds. The Thunder could have called timeout. It was a broken floor situation in a tie game, so I understand why they didn't. It's not quite the same as the Wolves not calling timeout in some similar situations earlier this year. But at any rate, Diallo basically airballed a layup because the Wolves got back in transition, goes out of bounds. The Wolves get the ball back. They come down the court. Again, tie game. And the Wolves still had one timeout in their pocket, but chose to hang on to it, I guess, just in case. And D'Lo dribbles up the court, smartly wastes a bunch of clock, and then goes into the offense with about 6-7 seconds on the clock. Beasley comes over as if he's going to set a screen and basically slips it just to run a little bit of interference and clears to the right wing. And for some reason, Hamidou Diallo played off of Russell. I mean, probably 4 or 5 feet, so he barely got a contest up. Russell pulled up from about 2.5 feet, 3 feet beyond the arc. So a little bit of a deep three, drained it with 2.7 seconds left, puts the Wolves up 3. And the Thunder actually called a good play on the other end that the Wolves messed up in coverage. They inbounded the ball to Horford, who was curling into the paint, and he immediately kicked it back out. And for whatever reason, McDaniels, who was guarding Diallo, followed Horford. So they basically doubled the catch at around the free throw line in a 3-point game. And Diallo got a mostly open attempt from about 26 feet or so and missed it. But clearly, I mean, he had a shot to tie the game. The Wolves did not play that well. That was just, I mean, I don't like to use the phrase rookie mistake because I think a lot of times it's a cop out. And I mean, these guys, they know how to play basketball, but that was a mistake where it just, I mean, you have to know it's a 3-point game. You don't guard the guy catching the ball 15 feet from the basket. But at any rate, the Wolves won. They won by 3. It was positive. And that's the main takeaway. What I want to get into next is some of the takeaways from individual play as well as, the rotations and things like that before we get into individual studs and duds. We're covering everything you need to know about the Minnesota Timberwolves here at Locked On Wolves, but what about the rest of sports? Now, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the fantastic Peter Bukowski. It's all the sports news you need every single morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. All right, key takeaways in this game. Number one, this game, frankly, should not have been as close as it was. And I mean, there were some, I mentioned transition defense early was a big issue. The Thunder committed 12 turnovers in like the first, I think the first quarter, and settled down quite a bit. I guess it was 12 in the first half, 9 in the first quarter. That's what it was. And the Wolves just couldn't take advantage of that. I mean, the offense was not efficient. They were shooting under 40% at halftime. They ended up at just under 44% for the game and 40% from three. But you could thank Malik Beasley and then that hot streak from Noel and Russell at the end of the third quarter for that. I mean, Anthony Edwards was 1 of 7 from deep. Jaden McDaniels is 0 for 3. And I mean, the overall offensive efficiency wasn't there. The Wolves weren't aggressive getting into the paint. They shot just 9 free throws to the Thunder 17. I mean, you're playing a team that only has 8 players. You should try and get guys into foul trouble. Nobody on the Thunder had more than 2 fouls. They committed 7 on the night. The Wolves just weren't getting into the paint. You look at the shot chart from the game, that was an issue. The offense was sloppy. There were some brutal turnovers down the stretch. The D'Lo one when they were the Thunder were in the midst of that quick 5-0 run right after he came back into the game. He basically just got lost in the middle of the defense, was playing pickup ball, and the Wolves didn't call a play and just turned it over. It's those sorts of things that just can't happen regularly. I mean, it happens to every team every now and again, but it happens to the Wolves every single night. And too often, frequently, this is a part of the schedule we talked about at the start of the year of being softer. And the Wolves, even without Karl Anthony Towns, need to be not only competitive, but they're leading in many of these games, whether it was Cleveland or obviously against the Spurs the other night. They're leading at double digits, 9+ points in the fourth quarter. And it's these silly mistakes that rear their ugly head. In terms of the rotation, Josh Okogie actually didn't play in the second half. He started the game, had a brutal first stint, wasn't very good in the second quarter either, and McDaniel started the third quarter. Okogie never saw the court again. Played only 9 minutes on the night, all in the first half. And the Wolves went with McDaniels and Vanderbilt for the entire second half, and it worked. Combined, they had 8 points and 14 rebounds, 1 block, 2 steals, 3 assists. McDaniels was a plus 20. Vanderbilt was a plus 9. The entire bench actually had positive plus minuses. And they both impacted the game positively. They shot only 3 of 8 from the floor. I mean, they're not going to do much offensively. I think McDaniels obviously has a lot more upside offensively. But at this stage, they just need guys to compete defensively and rebound. And that's exactly what they did, and not kill the offense. And they had 1 combined turnover. I mean, that's been a problem for Vanderbilt at times, but they didn't get into foul trouble. They didn't turn the ball over. They did rebound. They did defend. And so, I mean, what's Josh Okogie's role moving forward? If Jalen Noel is going to play like this, and Jake Layman, frankly, had a good game too, and we'll talk more about him in a minute. I mean, a week ago, the idea of taking Okogie out of the rotation would have seemed crazy. I guess a week ago is when he had his 4 consecutive missed threes at Golden State, I think it was, a week and a half ago. But until he finds some confidence offensively, I mean, and it's not just that. He had a play early in the game where he got stuck in the paint and pivoted like 3 times. It felt, I mean, I love Josh, but it felt like I was watching like a youth basketball game where somebody got stuck and just pivoted in a circle over and over because he didn't know what to do. Ultimately got a shot blocked, and thankfully it went to Naz Reid, who got fouled and converted on a 3-point play. But it just, there's no confidence there for Okogie, and there's just no upside to having him on the floor. I wouldn't be shocked if he just didn't play. I mean, if the Wolves started, they'll probably start Vanderbilt and bring McDaniels off the bench. But I mean, those are your 2 power forwards of now and of the future. And I don't know how Juancho is going to get minutes if those guys are playing well as also. Now, again, offense would be the reason, right? If the Wolves offense continues to struggle mightily and you know, Beasley and Russell and those guys can't pick up the slack, then you're going to need to turn to somebody that can shoot like Hernan Gomez. But, you know, when Towns comes back, that's less of a concern. You don't need that much offense out of that 4 spot. You just need guys who can compete, who can defend, who can rebound, or who can shoot threes. Both Vanderbilt and McDaniels can compete and defend and rebound. Hernan Gomez can shoot threes. McDaniels is the one guy who has the potential to do all of those things and be the most well-rounded player. But otherwise, you're looking at Vanderbilt, who's all defense, and Hernan Gomez, who's all offense and wasn't playing well earlier this year. So that'll be really intriguing to watch moving forward. And then if Okogie gets another crack, or if Jalen Noel now has that spot and TBD on Jarrett Culver when he returns. So as it should be, with the team that's 6-16 now after this win, the rotations have been in flux, and I think that's okay. Jake Lehman had a good game. He shot 4 of 9, played 18 minutes, including some key second half run, 10 points plus 7. He's not going to make the studs or duds list, so I wanted to call it out. But he's looked a lot better lately and might have a role in this on this team, depending on matchups. He's an okay player. He's always been kind of a rotation guy and was miscast as a starting power forward. But he deserves, if playing well, to see time on the edges of the rotation. And so once Culver's back, if Culver plays okay, and once Towns is back, there's not a lot of minutes for Jake Lehman, but he's probably going to remain on the fringe of the rotation here moving forward, I would think. All right, next I want to look at individual studs and duds, and then we'll wrap up today's show and look ahead to Saturday night's game between the Wolves and Thunder. We're only about 6 weeks away from March Madness, but the future of the NBA is on display right now. Get a head start on next year's draft analysis by subscribing to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast right here on the Locked On NBA Network. Draft guru Chad Ford has his biggest Big Board of the year out with profiles of Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, and more. Subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast wherever you get podcasts. All right, so individual studs and duds in this game, actually pretty easy for this particular tilt. Malik Beasley was really good, had 24 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. Shot 9 of 19, which is fine, 6 of 12 from 3, which is awesome. Only played 32 minutes again, which was a little bit surprising, but I mean, Jalen Noel had such a solid run in the second half that it made sense to give Bees a little bit of rest, but he played the majority of the fourth quarter, and he actually ended up with the team worst minus 18 in the plus minus column, which this is the perfect example of why a single game plus minus isn't always, certainly not the end all be all and far from it. Jaden McDaniels had a good game. He was a team high plus 20 off the bench and didn't score a point, was 0 of 4 from the field, missed all three 3-point attempts he took. And Malik Beasley scored 24, was 6 of 12 on threes, and was a minus 18. Obviously, defensively, Jaden McDaniels is the better player, and that, Beasley's a little better this year. That continues to be the case. But, he still, for this game, was the Wolves' best offensive player on the court consistently, and didn't make a bunch of mistakes, didn't take too many bad shots, and he is a stud for this game. I'm also going to give one to D'Angelo Russell, who had 21-6, 7 of 13 shooting, which is really efficient for D'Lo. The fact he only squeezed the trigger 13 times showed a little bit of restraint, trying to get teammates involved. 5 of 8 on three-pointers. For some reason, at one point, the Thunder broadcast said that he had been struggling from three this year. That's not true. He's shooting 39% from three. He did have 5 turnovers, which isn't great, to the 6 assists, but still, he hit the game winner. He had, if you want to talk plus minus, he had the best plus minus of any of the starters. He was a minus 1 and generally had a good game. So he is a stud for this game as well. The last one I'm going to cop out here a little bit. I know I said this was easy. I usually try and limit it to 3 studs, but I'm going to split this one between Naz Reid and Jalen Noel. Naz Reid had 17-9, shot 8 of 12 from the field. And while he struggled with Al Horford defensively, I mean, Horford had 26 on 19 shots, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, was a plus 20, just insane out of Horford. But Naz was really good offensively. He showed some really good footwork. He had a bunch of tough shots in the paint that he made. He didn't make a single 3 in this game. He was 8 of 11 shooting inside the arc, and I believe all of those attempts were inside the paint, or at least within 10 feet, and showed some really good touch around the paint and around the rim against a good defender in Horford. So even though he struggled a little bit defensively, he still gets half of a stud for this game for his 17-9 with an assist and a block. And then the other half of the third stud goes to Jalen Noel. He had 14 points on 6 of 12 shooting, 2 of 5 on three-pointers. Of course, both of those were those corner threes at the end of the third. He was a plus 16, which was the second best mark on the Wolves. He continues to do not much else in the box score outside of score. He had 2 rebounds in 16 minutes, no assists, steals, or blocks. And that's a little bit of an issue. He doesn't pass the ball very often, but he shoots it efficiently enough that that's not a huge deal. He did tweak his ankle. Al Horford kind of slid up under him on a 12-foot jumper just inside the free throw line that Noel made, and he immediately came off the court. He kind of stepped on Horford's heel and tweaked his ankle. Saunders said after the game that Noel should be fine. They're not too concerned, but obviously the Wolves have a back-to-back, so we'll see how the ankle feels Saturday night. I mean, I mentioned earlier Okogie's minutes. I mean, Okogie's going to play if Noel can't play. There aren't really any other options, assuming that Culver's still out with his sprained ankle. So hopefully Noel can play on Saturday. But he had a really good game again. It was good to see him succeed as, he's kind of the de facto bench scoring leader with Anthony Edwards in the starting lineup at this point. Speaking of Anthony Edwards is one of my duds for this game. He had 9 points, 3 of 14 shooting, 1 of 7 on threes, which means that he was 2 of 7 inside the arc, 1 of 7 outside the arc, only attempted 2 free throws. He did have 5 assists, which was really nice to see because he hasn't had too many assists this year for as much as he's had the ball in his hands at times. Only 2 rebounds and a block, just 2 turnovers. But the shot selection for him was an issue in this game. He was, again, 1 of 7 on threes. The one three that he did make was he caught the ball, took one dribble, and stepped into a three. So it was effectively a catch and shoot, you know, catch, dribble, shoot immediately. It wasn't in isolation. It wasn't really off the dribble. It wasn't in transition, anything like that. It was the type of shot he's been making, right? And the majority of his misses in this game were a side dribble, kind of a fadeaway, a flat-footed jumper. That was an issue again in this game. Now, he also struggled a little bit inside the arc, and there seemed to have been a lot of his shots came early in the game. The Wolves called some stuff for him early, and I think he turned the ball over on the Wolves' first possession, actually, in a set that they called for Edwards. But this just wasn't a good game for him, and he was aggressive. It wasn't like he was too passive, but unfortunately, too much of his aggression was geared towards shooting ill-advised three-pointers. So hopefully he bounces back on Saturday. And especially with no Noel, potentially if he's out, if there's still no Karl-Anthony Towns, the Wolves need him to provide something, and they were lucky to win with only 9 points on 3 of 14 from Edwards. The other dud is Josh Okogie. We talked about him quite a bit, but no points, 0 of 3, 9 minutes, a bad turnover, and just not a good game for him. And curious to see what his role is in the rotation moving forward. All right, there's not much to say about Saturday night's game to preview it. We don't know yet who's going to be available. Noel would be the big question mark. Of course, there's always a chance that Towns returns, although Saunders' comments earlier this week suggested that he hadn't really practiced yet, and so perhaps we're looking at next week now. There seems to be a chance. I mean, the Thunder aren't going to have George Hill. We know that. They're not going to have Maladone if he was out last night for health and safety protocols, I wouldn't think. Dort and Gilgeous Alexander, I think, would have a chance to play. And if either one of those guys do, this isn't a game that the Wolves will be favored in, especially if Towns doesn't, obviously, if Towns doesn't come back. I mean, Dort's their best defender. Gilgeous Alexander's a borderline all-star this year and easily their best all-around player. So if either one of those guys play, this is going to be tough sledding for the Wolves. If they don't, if the Thunder still only have 8 guys dressed on Saturday, I would say the Wolves are probably favored to win and have a shot to win and really should win by more than 3. You're looking at Al Horford and a little bit of Diallo and Baisley, and everybody else is kind of a fringy rotation guy at best. And yet the Thunder still were in a position to win this game tied in the final minute. So hopefully Saturday is a little better for the Wolves, but we'll take the win 6-16 after the Thunder game on Saturday. The Timberwolves continue this stretch of just a ton of games. I think 5 games in 7 days is what it was. They have Sunday off, of course, and then they're in Dallas on Monday. And next week, then also play Wednesday, Friday, with just a 1-game homestand in the middle there against the Clippers. So a rough schedule after this Oklahoma City game with Dallas and the Clippers on the horizon. So hopefully the Wolves can come out with another win, and perhaps we'll get Karl-Anthony Towns back, if not Saturday, maybe Monday in Dallas. All right, that's all I have for today here at Locked on Wolves. We'll plan to be back with you Monday morning. We'll recap the rest of the weekend and preview the week ahead. Thanks for listening to the Locked on Wolves podcast, of course, part of the Locked on Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked on Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to the show anywhere you get podcasts, including iTunes. You can follow on Spotify and also follow us on Twitter at Locked on T-Wolves. That's at Locked on T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And also at B Beacon, 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. And also on iTunes, if you're so inclined, please help us out with a review. That definitely helps us get in front of more folks. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked on Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.